Welcome to SCOTUSCast, Adoption versus Application of Employment Practices That Have a Disparate Impact Edition. Thank you for tuning in. On May 24, 2010, the Supreme Court announced its decision in Lewis v. City of Chicago. Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 prohibits employers from using employment practices that cause a disparate impact on the basis of race, among other bases. Title VII also requires plaintiffs to file a timely charge of discrimination with the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission before beginning a federal lawsuit. The question in this case was whether a plaintiff who does not file a timely charge challenging the adoption of a practice, in this case an employer's decision to exclude employment applicants who did not achieve a certain score on an examination, may assert a disparate impact claim in a timely charge challenging the employer's later application of that practice. In a 9-0 opinion delivered by Justice Scalia, the court held that a plaintiff who does not file a charge challenging the adoption of a practice may assert a disparate impact claim in a timely charge challenging the employer's later application of that practice, as long as he alleges each of the elements of a disparate impact claim. To discuss the case, we have Elizabeth K. Dorminey, who is of counsel with Wimberly, Lawson, Steckel, Schneider, and Stein, P.C. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Ms. Dorminey.
In Lewis v. City of Chicago, Justice Scalia, writing for a unanimous court, reminds us once again why he got picked for the job. Quote, "It is not our task to assess the consequences. Our charge is to give effect to the law Congress enacted. Let's hope the Senate and any potential future members of the court are paying attention." The facts, briefly, are as follows. In 1995, the city of Chicago, anticipating the need for some 600 new firefighters over the next several years, paid astonishing sums of money to a professional test developer to devise an exam for applicants for firefighter positions. In this respect, the city of Chicago was not unlike the city of New Haven, Connecticut, whose own experience with the results of expensive tests administered to firefighters seeking promotion was so closely examined by the Supreme Court last fall in Ritchie v. DiStefano. Some 26,000 aspiring firefighters took the test. Why so many were tested for so few openings is a mystery to me, but that's what they did. After extra points were added for applicants who were already paramedics or were veterans, the city grouped the applicants into three categories: failed, qualified, and well qualified. The qualified group had a higher proportion of African-American members than the well-qualified group. In January 1996, the city said it would pick new recruits only from the well-qualified group and sent the others a letter basically saying, better luck next time. The city started picking candidates at random from the well-qualified list in May 1997 and continued to do so at intervals over the next few years. Starting in May 1997, several African-American applicants who had scored in the qualified range filed discrimination charges with the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. In due course, they received right-to-sue letters and filed suit, alleging that using only the well-qualified tranche for selection had a disparate impact on African-American applicants. The city moved for summary judgment. This is important. Admitting, if only for purposes of the motion, that the test did indeed have disparate impact, but hanging its hat on the argument that the disappointed applicants had waited too long to file their EEOC charge. In Illinois, an EEOC charge must be filed within 300 days of the act of alleged discrimination, which the city said was January 1996, when they scored the test, drew the lines, and sent out notification letters. After certifying the case as a class action, the district court disagreed and denied the city's motion. The district court agreed with the applicants that the evil act was not just when the test was scored and the categories created, But when the city made hiring decisions based on those lists, which the city admittedly had done within the 300-day window of the first charge. The Seventh Circuit, Justice Scalia's alma mater, reversed, finding that the charge was untimely. Then, as so frequently happens in these little narratives, the Supreme Court granted certiorari. Justice Scalia wrote for the unanimous court. His former colleagues on the Seventh Circuit got it wrong, he said. Title VII of the Civil Rights Act, as amended, makes unlawful the use by an employer of any employment practice that causes a disparate impact on the basis of race or any other prohibited factor, unless the employer can show that the practice is job-related and consistent with business necessity. To prove disparate impact, one need not prove intent to discriminate, only that the result is discriminatory. For Justice Scalia, the city's goose was cooked when it conceded that the test had discriminatory impact when moving for summary judgment. Remember, at summary judgment, the court is bound to basically take the plaintiff's word for all disputed facts. Had the city disputed discriminatory impact, the summary judgment would have been denied because there was a disputed issue of material fact. This meant that the city violated the Civil Rights Act every time it used the list, not just when it drew up the list. And since the charges were timely filed with respect to the uses of the list, the case could go forward. The applicants, who only scored qualified, proved all the elements of their disparate impact case according to the statute. The court didn't reach the question of whether the city proved any defenses, that the test was job-related and that it was a matter of business necessity that it draw the line between qualified and well-qualified. The court said, quote, unless and until the defendant pleads and proves a business necessity defense, the plaintiff wins simply by showing the stated element, close quote. By putting all its eggs in the timely filed charge basket, so to speak, the city missed out on the business necessity defense, although that will certainly come up if the litigation continues. This is a narrow holding that concerns what a disparate impact claim requires. Title VII says all you need to show to make a prima facie case is that the employer used a practice that caused disparate impact, which the city conceded. Although Lewis, like Ritchie, involves firefighters, it is fundamentally different because the employer's intent was critical in Ritchie. New Haven argued that it was okay to throw out test results that favored proportionally too many white test takers because minorities might file discrimination charges. This was intentional race-based conduct on the city's part. Intent doesn't figure in a disparate impact case. As Justice Scalia says, in quintessentially Scalian language, quote, that is the product of the law Congress has written. It is not for us to rewrite the statute so that it covers only what we think is necessary to achieve what we think Congress really intended. Close quote. In answer to the charge that this holding will cause practical problems, Justice Scalia notes that both the city's and the plaintiff's readings of the statute could produce what he terms puzzling results. There could be a flood of claims, or the courthouse door will be slammed on the litigant's fingers. Not my problem, says the justice. Ever the teacher, he spells it out one more time. Quote, it is not our task to assess the consequences. Our charge is to give effect to the law Congress enacted. If that effect is unintended, it is a problem for Congress, not one the federal courts can fix, close quote. So, what do we take away from Lewis v. Chicago? My advice to an employer would be, save your money. No more fancy tests. All they buy you is trouble. Set up minimum criteria for any job and select candidates at random. Roll the dice, let the chips fall where they may. Chicago and New Haven both spent millions trying to devise irreproachable tests and still got sued. Nobody can complain about discrimination when you use a lottery. Of course, that's not going to work for every job or every employer, but you get the idea. So what's the real bottom line? Well, if Justice Scalia has said it once, he's said it 1,000 times. The court's job is to give effect to what Congress puts in the statutes, no more, no less. The court must abide by the text. Some may scoff at rigid textuality, but it's critical to our constitutional scheme and the bounden duty of every member of the U.S. Supreme Court. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUS Cast. For more episodes of SCOTUS Cast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.